90.3, this is Near FM. Hi there, I'm Declan Ralph and welcome along to the Week in Review. This week I'm taking a break from the usual Week in Review programme and instead I'm looking ahead to next Friday. That's the day when we will decide on two referenda, the marriage referendum and the age of the presidential candidate referendum. So today what we've decided to do is to dedicate the entire programme and give over it to a discussion and debate between the yes and the no viewpoints in relation to the marriage referendum. And joining me today is Cian O'Callaghan, independent councillor, and he is representing the yes viewpoint. Good afternoon, Cian. Thank you for coming.
Good afternoon, Declan.
And also with me is Mark Hickey from Mothers and Fathers Matter, and he's representing the no viewpoint. Mark, you're very welcome as well.
Thanks very much, Declan. Thanks for inviting me.
You're very welcome. Now, on Friday, we are being asked to vote yes or no to the proposal to include a new clause about marriage in the Constitution. This new clause provides that two people may marry each other regardless of their sex. Okay, so in a moment now, to begin, I'm going to give both Cian and Mark 2 minutes each to put forward their respective positions in relation to the referendum, and then we'll move on to a range of questions and discussions relating to the referendum that we'll put to both of them. And to be very fair, we tossed a coin earlier to see who would go first, and Cian won the toss, so Cian's going to speak in a moment. Now, if you at home would like to get involved in the discussion, you can text me a question or a comment. The text line is open now. It's 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500. Or on Twitter, at NearFM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. Okay, so now, Cian, we're going to time you. You'll hear the 2 minutes go off, and if you can finish up, you'll hear a little bell. Carla's helping us out on that duties today. And if you could just finish up sort of as quickly as you can when that bell goes. So, Cian, the floor is yours.
Thanks very much, Declan, and thanks very much for this opportunity to discuss this. What we're being asked on Friday is to consider a proposed amendment to the Constitution, which will say marriage may be contracted in accordance with law by two persons without distinction as to their sex. And that's all we're being asked to consider on Friday. And if we vote yes, it means that lesbian and gay people like myself will have the choice and opportunity to be able to get married. And if we vote no, the current situation where we're barred from being able to access state marriage will persist. So we're just asking people to consider that. And to try and look at this in an inclusive manner so that people like myself and people who are in long-term committed same-sex relationships can choose to get married the same as everybody else. And that's all we're asking for.
Okay, Cian, thanks for that. And well there within the 2 minutes. So we'll just reset the clock and we'll open the floor to Mark now to give his opening position. Mark.
In the run-up to this referendum, we've been relentlessly bombarded with slogans like equality, marriage equality, yes equality. But is there any substance really behind them? Equality really means treating similar things in similar ways and different things differently. The union of a man and woman is a different thing. The relationship between a man and two men, or two women. And to treat two things, two relationships, in the same way is unjust. All of us, gay or straight, have a mother and a father. That we all have a mother and father, and upholding the institution of marriage serves to protect the integrity of that relationship. What is really being called for in this referendum is a redefinition of marriage. The conjugal union of man and woman is the same act that brings a child into the world. No other relationship does that. This does not denigrate other relationships. Not all couples of men and women have a child, but where there is a child, that child has a mother and a father. And if we uphold the institution of marriage as is, we serve to protect the integrity of that relationship. That's why it's such a big deal. Otherwise, why would the government or the state or society be that interested in our romantic entanglements? We are also told by the established government that almost all of the media that this is not about children. How strange. I'm a father of a young family, and I care very much about what goes into our constitution in regards to marriage and family. The proposed amendment is to go into the article entitled The Family. The family has got an awful lot to do with children. The family is spelled out in the constitution as the fundamental unit group of society, antecedent to all positive law. Marriage is its foundation. With marriage comes the right to found a family. But two men or two women cannot found a family without depriving a child of a mother or a father. For two women, this means sperm donation, which, thanks to the Children and Family Relations Act, means that a child conceived in such a way may not know his father until age 18. When a man and woman can make use, well, a man and woman can make use of surrogacy in extenuating circumstances. They generally provide their own genes and give that child a mother and a father. However, two men must use surrogacy. It's not surprising then that our government has kicked the question of surrogacy to touch, not legislated for yet, until it hopes a yes vote passes. There are those of us who are attracted to members of their own sex. All of us, gay or straight, have a childhood and have a mother and a father. Vote no so that everyone has a chance to be raised by them.
Okay, Mark, thanks for that. Okay, I'm going to begin by asking both of you, maybe I'll go to Keane on it first. I mean, what's all the fuss about? The institution of marriage, whether it's between a man and a woman or between two men and two women, is marriage relevant anymore anyway?
Well, I think marriage is absolutely relevant. I suppose if you have the access to marriage, you then have the choice about whether or not it's appropriate for you and your relationships. But when you're locked out of marriage as an institution, it's very much something that myself and the vast majority of the lesbian and gay community want access to. One of the people that's been out campaigning with us over the last number of weeks, for example, is together with his partner and boyfriend for 30 years. And they would love to be able to get married. And that's a 30-year long, committed, loving relationship. And they're not able to have that choice. So absolutely, marriage may not be for everybody, but certainly we'd love to be able to have the choice about whether or not to get married. My own situation, in terms of I've been going out with my boyfriend for just 3 years, but I'd love in the future to be able to choose whether or not we could get married. And that would mean the absolute world to us. It might be something that, I suppose, if you always have that choice, you kind of take for granted. But I suppose as lesbian gay people, we've been used to, you know, being, you know, treated differently and separately from time to time, and things have improved massively in the last number of years. But we would just love to be treated as equal citizens, the same as heterosexual couples, and that's what we're asking for.
Okay, and Mark, the same question to you. I mean, what's the fuss about? I mean, you know, is the institution of marriage relevant anyway?
Yeah, well, before I just get to that, I'll just answer Keane's last point directly. I mean, of course, yeah, we want to treat everybody fairly and equally, but I mean, that includes everybody, including children. So it's not a case that you're being barred, I think, from the institution of marriage. Marriage has a certain nature.
I am barred.
Well, it's not the case that you're. It's not a case that you're being denied rights to know that marriage is a certain thing. This referendum is not really about extending, opening the door of those who are allowed to marry. It's about what marriage actually is. What is it? And we must discuss that. It's about redefining marriage from the Constitution on downwards. That will have a huge effect on all the laws regarding family and children. And to answer what marriage, why is marriage important? Well, marriage is important because children are born into the world, and every child has a mother and a father. A child is given birth to, a mother gives birth to a child. It's very clear that child has a mother. That child also has a father. And what marriage means, it means that the before or around the child coming into the world, the two parents, the mother and father, are committed to each other for the sake of that child. There's nothing even close to, nothing that comes close to that on the yes side argument in terms of how important that actually is. I think that's more foundational. Yes, I think we should give all the protections and benefits that people are looking for in taxation, property rights, and next of kin. That's there in civil partnership. And Article 40 in the Constitution deals with the equality of citizens, and that is a different article. But the government has chosen to change Article 41. That's headed the family. That impacts us, everybody.
Okay, we'll come back to the civil partnership in a minute. But just, Keane, maybe to let you back in on that there, you wanted to make the point.
Well, the situation is that lesbian gay people are barred from marriage in this country at the moment, but that's not the situation in other countries. So we're actually surrounded by countries where marriage is accessible for lesbian gay couples. If I was living in the UK or in Spain or France or Iceland or any of these countries, you're able to access marriage. So it is the case that marriage includes lesbian gay people in a lot of countries, in a lot of similar countries, and a lot of similar Catholic, you know, countries with strong Catholic traditions, but it's not the case currently in Ireland. We have the chance to change that on Friday. And this is what we're talking about is, you know, state marriage here. So it's not religious marriage. And I think as citizens in a state, we should all be treated in terms of the institutions of the state in the same way and have the same rights. And I think that's what this is fundamentally about.
Well, I should say, following on from that, I mean, there are, you know, first of all, no country has voted for this. Where it's been put to a vote, it's been shot down by the people. Okay, there's been about three or four states in America where it's been voted by popular vote, but almost everywhere it's brought in by legislation.
Are there any examples of that you can give us in Europe?
In Europe, there's a popular vote defeating same-sex marriage. Right, Slovenia and Croatia and Slovakia, they all had referenda, and the people did not vote. They voted in favour of preserving what marriage is.
In Western Europe.
And there's in Western Europe that's been brought in through legislation against, in many cases, against the will of the people. But in the 37 referenda that have happened, 34 have said no, keep marriage as it is. It's important for its own right and what the nature of it is. There's no right to same-sex marriage in Europe. The European Court of Human Rights has struck that down twice.
Okay, can I ask you, Mark, start with you, your views on civil partnership?
Civil partnership has benefits and property rights and taxation and inheritance in there that serve a purpose that is very complete. And in fact, there are some cases where you're better off being in a civil partnership than in marriage. For example, in the Housing Act, if you're married, both spouses' income is taken into account for a means test for a housing grant. So you're much more likely to get the housing grant if you have a civil partnership over and against a marriage. And there are other provisions there to do with financial insulation around and dissolution processes and things like that. The question has to be asked, what are the extra differences that want to be added to civil partnership? And is it worth radically redefining marriage to do that?
Well, let's put that question to Cian. Cian, is it worth?
Well, effectively, civil partnership is effectively a second-class and separate institution for lesbian gay couples that only lesbian gay couples can avail of, and it's not available to heterosexual couples, whereas marriage is. And this business of having separate legal arrangements for different people of different sexual orientation, I think, is not desirable. The marriage is in the Constitution and is protected by the Constitution. Civil partnership has no constitutional status, no protection whatsoever. Could be rescinded, changed by government at any stage. And we just heard earlier about how other countries haven't had popular votes in terms of same-sex marriage. I think it's really good that we're getting the chance to do that in Ireland. It means that people in Ireland get to decide this. And rather than having civil partnerships separately done by a legislator and marriage separately for heterosexual couples, I think it's great that we have the opportunity to have one institution of marriage applicable to all loving, committed adult couples.
But there are loads of loving, committed adult relationships that we don't necessarily recognise as marriage, and it's not to denigrate any of those other relationships. There's lots of them, lots of different kinds of relationships between persons, but there is one special relationship between man and woman. Why? Because only that relationship can bring a child into the world, and if you start changing the definition of that, you set up a situation where we can deliberately deprive a child of her mother or father, not by force of circumstance. We all know the cases where people do break down and separation and death and illness and so on, where a child loses a mother or father, but this would be deliberately by state design and constitutionally protected. Yes, we could constitutionally protect a civil partnership, for example, but this referendum isn't doing that. This referendum is proposing to completely radically redefine marriage and hence family. And that's the problem. It's different, but equal. Well, I mean, don't you think, Cian? Can I ask you? Isn't a man and woman a different relationship to a man and a man, or a woman and a woman? Surely that's a different relationship.
I think in terms of loving relationships, essentially it's the same. So if you look at myself and my boyfriend, we have the same type of love, the same sort of. We know each other inside out. We have the same sorts of rows. We know the same sorts of differences that any other kind of a couple has. And of course every relationship is unique, and I agree with you, not every committed relationship has to result or end in marriage, but the difference is that heterosexual couples have that choice and have that available to them at the moment, whereas lesbian gay couples don't have that choice and don't have it available. But essentially love to me is love, and that's, you see, I don't think that marriage, our civil partnerships, are just about things like property rights and tax and so forth. I do think that's a very important component, but I think what actually makes these unique and puts these relationships in a very strong position in society is the fact that is the love that binds the couples, and that's why people want to get married, is really because they love each other. I'm not going to say to my boyfriend, would you like to have a civil partnership in a few years so we can sort out our tax arrangements. If we're in a situation in a few years where we decide that we want to spend the rest of our lives together, we want to be able to marry Of course, civil partnership in the absence of marriage is a halfway measure, but hopefully this is a chance now for us to end halfway measures for lesbian and gay couples.
Mark?
But the most important distinction here is that marriage is a foundation of family. But a man and a man cannot found a family without recourse to artificial reproductive means and surrogacy, for example. So what will happen is in the future, and this has been clear from both from the legal opinion from Michael Collins, senior counsel, and also from Kevin Cross himself, who's on the referendum commission, that going forward, it'll be very, very difficult to give a preference for motherhood and fatherhood. Almost no. So, can you imagine that? So, a child who's coming into the world being adopted or being conceived through donor-assisted human reproduction, or those means can be deliberately deprived of a mother and a father. That's very, very deep. That affects everybody. And I'm saying that in the Constitution, marriage is there as a foundation of family. If you grant the right to marry, you grant the right to found a family and have children. But the only way that two men or two women can do that is by deliberately depriving a child of her mother or father.
Yeah, I don't accept that's the case at all. And Kevin Cross, the independent chair of the Referendum Commission, has been very clear in that there's no right to assisted human reproduction whatsoever to married couples.
Not presently.
There's none in the Constitution. There's none whatsoever, and there's no proposal to have any right to assisted human reproduction in the Constitution either, and certainly not in this proposal. So he's been very, very clear in that. The head of the Adoption Authority has been very clear that this won't affect adoption either way, where the rights of the child are put first. And so I don't think, you know, surrogacy isn't in this constitutional amendment. There is no legislation in Ireland currently for surrogacy. The government is saying they are going to introduce it. But surrogacy is largely an issue for married heterosexual couples, because that's largely who avails of surrogacy. And that situation isn't going to change regardless of whether or not this amendment is passed. There is no right to surrogacy or assisted human reproduction for any married couple. Whether that be heterosexual or if this is passed, lesbian and gay.
All right. First, you talk about the rights of a child being put first. Well, I agree the rights of a child being put first, but the whole question is, the real $64,000 question is, what do those rights entail? What do those rights mean? And what do they contain? And what you're making by redefining marriage to be a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, or a woman and a man, you're saying that basically a mother or father is optional. That then will not factor into the rights of child. And Kevin Cross has said that there's basically, it's very hard to imagine, his own words, hard to imagine a situation where you can justifiably treat differently a man and a man and a man and a woman in the context of marriage and family. So therefore, a child being considered for adoption, for example, will cannot go to have a mother and father, will basically be systematically denied a child, a mother or a father. And I lived in Massachusetts up until last year. That's where same-sex marriage is legal since 2004. This has changed the society quite profoundly. And for example, on the adoption question alone, for example, you have in that state, the number of same-sex households are about 1%, but 20% of the adoptions go to them. And any adoption charity or agency who wants to adopt to man and woman couples can't do so because they're denied license. And in the UK, you speak of the UK. Well, what happened in the UK was three adoption agencies were shut down. Why? Because they wanted to persist in their practice of sending a child to a home with a mother and a father. That full diversity, that's equality for children. And they have not been part of the Yes campaign, the considerations of the Yes campaign, the rights of a child. And yes, you're right, surrogacy is used by man-woman couples. And it's not regulated yet. But isn't it funny that the Children Family Relationships Act that was rammed through the Oireachtas did not contain any surrogacy questions in it or any answers to it, because that was kicked to touch after they're hoping that the referendum goes through with a yes, it'll be very, very hard to ban surrogacy. Why? It's the only way that two men can found a family.
Kane?
Well, just to be clear, and Kevin Cross has been clear in this as well, there is no constitutional right to surrogacy or assisted human reproduction. So if the government wish to ban it, if they wish to ban it, they are entitled to do so. And they can regulate it in any way that they want to as well. And I think that will be a welcome debate when Ireland has that about surrogacy.
And presumably, if they do want to put it in the Constitution, they'll have to come back to the people.
That can be done as well. All those things. You see, surrogacy is not part of this amendment. This amendment is about whether or not marriage can be open to lesbian and gay couples as well. And I mean, just to say, Kevin Cross as well has been very clear in relation to surrogacy or any of these other issues, that in terms of if this constitutional amendment is passed, that there are possibilities for legislation to differentiate, but it would have to be evidence-based. You couldn't just differentiate without any good rational reason or evidence.
His words were hard to imagine.
He said it was possible, and he said it would
very
have to be fair.
Hard to imagine.
Yeah, and he said it would have to be fair and proportionate, and that otherwise it couldn't be done. Now, why would we have legislation that would discriminate or differentiate unless there was evidence base to do so? And that's effectively what he was saying.
But if you enshrine in the Constitution an equivalence between relations between man and a man as marriage and a man and a woman, it will be invidious discrimination to say that. No, for there's some rules for one couple and other rules for another. I don't think so.
Okay, we'll move on to another point. The bishops have said during the week that the church may no longer perform the civil aspects of weddings if the yes vote is carried. What's your view on that, Cian?
Well, firstly, the bishops are absolutely entitled, I suppose, to whatever view they want in relation to whether or not churches will perform the civil aspects. I would have thought that if there was going to be a change in this, it would have been when divorce and the right to remarry came in, because that's effectively when, I suppose, a separation between state marriage and religious marriage was brought into Ireland. So that would have been a logical point if the churches had wanted to separate the functions out at that point. So they're absolutely entitled to do that if they wish. But they need not do that. There's no need for them to separate out the civil function from religious marriages if this passes. And I suppose that's entirely a matter, I suppose, for the Catholic Church to decide whether or not they want to do that. But there's no need for them to do it.
And Mark, same question?
I would say that it makes some sense. I mean, if you have a completely redefined, it just goes to show the nature of the redefinition. I mean, the words we're introducing are marriages between a man and a woman, or between a man and a man, or a woman and a woman. And that completely pulls a rug out from under what marriage actually is. I mean, and of course it would make sense then for the Catholic Church to say, well, we can't really sign off on that as marriage, so they would disentangle themselves from the civil marriage business altogether. So that would be a possibility. But I lived in Massachusetts, again, just to say that I lived there and I saw the changes in society due to the recognition of same-sex relationships as marriage. And you do find that there are changes at the level of education, public education and so on, because you have to present the two models as equal, because and especially if they're in the Constitution, I mean, that gives them the highest protection of all and at the top level of what where marriage sits side by side with marriage. I mean, you're basically saying that it's antecedent to all positive law, and it's a fundamental unit group of society. So schools, and I don't think we've gotten any assurances from Enda Kenny about conscience clauses or anything like that. So I think Catholic schools would be under some pressure there to present both models. And in Massachusetts, for example, from a very early age, 6 or 7 or even younger, children of that age have been presented with the equivalence of same-sex relationships with relationships between mothers and fathers. And that's done against the wishes and against the knowledge, in fact, of a lot of parents. And there's no recourse for those parents because it's legal.
Okay, just to remind listeners today that you're listening to Near FM 90.3. I'm Declan Ralph, and we are having a change from the usual Week in Review programme, and today we're talking about the marriage referendum that's happening on Friday next, the 22nd. And with me in the studio is Cian O'Callaghan, and Cian is an independent councillor, and Cian is representing the views of the yes vote, and Mark Hickey from Mothers and Fathers Matter, and he's representing the no viewpoint. And if you at home would like to get involved in the discussion, or if you have a comment or a question, you can text me to 087 69 44 500, or you can pop us a question on Twitter, either at NearFM or at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. Okay, we're going to take a short break now. We'll be back after this. Okay, welcome back to the Week in Review. As I said, today we're having a special Week in Review programme where we're discussing the issues around the marriage referendum. And just to remind you again, in studio with me is Cian O'Callaghan, independent councillor, and he's representing the Yes viewpoint, and Mark Hickey from Mothers and Fathers Matter, and he's representing the No viewpoint. So I'm going to start with Cian here. And Cian, the question, I suppose, is to say to you that if on Friday next, the 22nd of May, and I think I did say the 22nd of June before the break there, but it is next Friday, the 22nd of May. If the vote, Cian, is no, if the no vote is carried on Friday, what will be your position then? What would happen next?
Yeah, and Declan, if you don't mind, can I firstly address just a quick point from what Mark was saying, just about schools and teaching different values and Catholic values. When divorce was brought in the right to remarry was put into the Constitution, didn't change for one second religious teaching in schools and in the vast majority of our schools and Catholic teaching. On that, which is the Catholic Church teaches against divorce, and that continues in our schools, and it's be the same in terms of if same-sex marriage is allowed in our constitution, Catholic Church and Catholic schools and religious teachers would be absolutely free to continue to teach the viewpoint of their religions and churches on that. This would just mean that in terms of state marriage, lesbian gay couples can access it. In terms of if there is a no vote, obviously we'd be extremely disappointed. I suppose it's the status quo then, so it doesn't change our lives. We go on as is. You know, speaking for myself and lesbian gay people, we've spent most of our lives knowing that we don't have the same access to equal treatment under the Constitution, under our laws, and we do our very best to, you know, ignore that most of the time and pretend that it's not an issue for us and get on with things. So of course we'll do our very, very best in that sense, but it would be a huge disappointment, and we'd love to see this resolved at this point. And obviously we'd accept the view of people on it. We'd accept the result, but we would like to see the time come when we're accepted as full citizens in Ireland, and that's really what we're campaigning for.
Okay, thanks, Cian. And Mark, I'll ask you the same question, the opposite way around, obviously, though. If the yes vote is carried on Friday next, what will your position be then after that?
Well, I have some experience with what the country would be like if a yes vote is passed, because having lived again in Massachusetts, so where same-sex marriage was recognised, legalised since 2004. And so what you find there is that there is severe curtailing of freedom of speech. For example, if you want to say, oh, well, I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman exclusively, you can get in trouble for that. There was even a fast food chain who was basically prohibited from setting up shop in Boston by the mayor, all because he just said, I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, to a newspaper. It's astonishing. The mayor wrote an open letter. Loads of other examples are like that come from societies. And we've already seen instances of it here. Asher's Bakery in the north, who simply didn't want to get involved in the marriage ceremony or the wedding of a same-sex couple, or didn't want to provide a cake topper invitations. For example, Daintree is another company that had changed management because of this intimidation and so on and public censure. So freedom of speech is heavily curtailed, all for saying that a child deserves a mother and father, and that marriage is between a man and a woman, just for simply saying that. Then, for example, I mean, obviously, as I said, main points here were that around the rights of a child, that you're setting up a society where motherhood and fatherhood are all optional. Well, if they're optional, then it's going to be very difficult for people to see them as essential. And yes, I think there is a case to be made for the change in schools, because I have direct experience of this in the public schools in Massachusetts. And what happens is the private schools that want to hold to a teaching of marriage are pushed to the outskirts financially. They have to privatise, they have to have their own fees and so on, and are pushed further and further away. It's not exactly like divorce, though, because this is a fundamental change to marriage. And so this is a fundamental change of what marriage is perceived to be, and it affects it affects society at that very basic level. That's why that they've seen fit in Massachusetts to teach the model of same-sex relationships as being the same as marriage and family, foundation of family, to children as young as five and six. So, I think there are a lot of things to be worried about if the yes vote is carried.
Yeah, and I mean, just you see, I think divorce was a fundamental change to state marriage up until that point.
I agree.
Yeah, I think it was absolutely fundamental, because up until that point, someone couldn't remarry in terms of state marriage. It was an absolute huge change. But Catholic schools in Ireland, and we can only consider this really in terms of Ireland as well, and how things play out in Ireland. But in Ireland, Catholic schools and the Catholic Church and Christian religions and Christian schools have been absolutely free, thankfully, to keep teaching their views on religion and on marriage, and there hasn't been any curtailment. I think it's very important that we defend the right of free speech and of different views. And, you know, I'm happy to see that Ireland is becoming more secular, but for me, that means that we need to have a huge tolerance and space for all different religions, including Christian teaching, Catholicism, and for people with no religions. And I absolutely would, you know, oppose any kind of curtailment of that in any shape or form. And I don't believe that letting lesbian gay couples being able to marry will stop or interfere with religions or with church teachings in any shape or form, and this is what the referendum is just about.
Okay, a lot of celebrities over the course of this referendum campaign. I mean, I use the word celebrities, but maybe some journalists, maybe some just people who would be well known, have come down on one side or the other. Mark, I'll ask you first. Do you find that helpful to the campaign, the people who fall down on with and agree with your viewpoint? Do you find celebrity endorsement helpful, or does it hinder the campaign?
It's been very, very on one sided, really, in that regard. I think the celebrities have mostly come out and said yes to this. There's been only a very handful of few GAA stars, for example, over the last few days, in fact, who've come out on the no side. I think it's helpful as far as what they have to say is helpful. If the substance of their argument makes sense, and if what they're saying and what values are they upholding. You know, are they looking out for the rights of children? Are they looking out for the best common interest of society itself? I think that's very good. I think, you know, for example, Joe Brennan has made some very cogent points, valuable points on that in the last number of days. But in general, it depends on what they're saying. If they're just simply repeating the slogans of the yes side without actually expanding on them. I mean, there's been very little expansion, I think, on the yes arguments. It's just simply a statement of marriage equality. And it just presumes that, I mean, the term marriage equality itself is just a kind of a preemptive, manipulative a slogan. It presumes that there is an imbalance to be redressed. But this is about changing what we recognise marriage to be. I think if we could just maybe address that. This marriage referendum is not about equality per se. It's about changing what we recognise marriage to be from the Constitution on downwards.
And Cian, I mean, to take up Mark's point there, are all the celebrities agreeing with your viewpoint?
No, there has been celebrities with a no viewpoint as well. Most recently, the very high profile Dublin GAA player Gerard Brennan came out and gave an extensive view as to why he'll be voting no. And I mean, I was delighted to see him come into debate. And I think most people make up their own mind on this, and they won't be unduly influenced by celebrities. It is, with a public debate, you are going to get lots of people coming into it. Obviously, there's been a lot of people who are gay and lesbian who've entered the debate, and that's to be expected because it does affect them and it is personal to them. But I don't think it will have, you know, any particularly undue influence, especially in Ireland. People only have a certain amount of time and respect, I suppose, for the views of celebrities. They will listen to them and take them on board, but people make up their own mind, essentially, in these things. So it is just part of the public debate, yeah.
Okay. We're into the last week, really, now, of the campaign, I suppose, and it's, you know, the final run-up to the vote next Friday. Cian, we'll start with you on this one. Maybe do you feel that your viewpoint has been particularly fairly represented across the various media outlets and across the various platforms?
Well, I think a debate like this and discussion like this can be very difficult from people from all points of view, and a lot of people on the yes side and a lot of people on the no side will feel that they didn't necessarily get fair treatment, or they'll feel they didn't get enough time for the aspects and the views that they would like discussed. Certainly, from a Yes campaign point of view, a lot of the debate and the discussion has been on items that we think isn't central to this this referendum, isn't about whether or not lesbian and gay people get married, and it's been brought into debate. But that's all part of the democratic process. And I think we should all be open to that and welcome that. So I think it's rare enough that you'll find anyone on the Yes side or No side particularly happy with the debate. But I think the media, to be fair, it's very difficult in these circumstances. They have to try and get exact 50-50. And I think the media have been doing their best in that. So you'll never find anyone who's terribly happy about the whole thing, but I think given the circumstances, given there's lots of different views, and given that, there has been a lot of change in Ireland, particularly with regard to lesbian and gay people over the last 10-20 years, so things have moved quite fast. So it is, you're going to get a lot of different viewpoints on this, and I think in fairness, people are doing their best to come to a view with regards to the referendum, and their best to try and be fair and inclusive.
And Mark, from your viewpoint?
Well, I don't think the media have been that fair. I mean, it's been mostly, I think it's been more heavily on the Yes side. Maybe in recent few weeks that we've had some fair debates on RTE. And I mean, for example, the newspaper record is the Irish Times. But you just look through the opinion pieces in the Irish Times, writers such as Fintan O'Toole, Una Mullally, and so on. You'll see that there's a huge, huge bias, and they get heavy rotation, I mean, on those opinion pieces. And it's all on the Yes side. Few writers have been obviously writing on the No side as well. But even in the letter section, you find it has been a preponderance of yes arguments, with some equalization towards more recent times, in fairness, as a corrective to that. But you just look at, for example, Brian Dobson interviewing David Quinn, asking him directly, so you're against marriage equality, and asking him to pressing him to answer that question. But that makes you can't answer that question without buying into the premise of the question, which is a false premise. The premise is that there's some inequality that needs to be redressed. This is not about redressing an inequality. This is about redefining what we recognise marriage to be.
Okay. Well, let's maybe just come back to the discussion we had earlier, just in relation to children, in the context of marriage and the discussion we had there around adoption or surrogacy, guardianship, or custody, even the maintenance of children, all of that. Can I come back to you, Mark, maybe on that again, and just ask you to maybe expand on some of the issues that you were outlining earlier in relation to the, particularly maybe the surrogacy and adoption areas?
Exactly, yeah. As I said, marriage brings a man and woman together so that any children that come into the world can have a mother and father. Now, of course, there are men and women out there who do not have any children, and they're married couples without any children. But where there is a child, that child has a mother and father. And if you set this up in the Constitution, an equivalence between marriage between a man and a woman and two men, for example, you're basically granting both of them the right to found a family. And this is quite clearly spelled out in law. The 1985 Murray versus Ireland decision, for example, Justice Finlay made the connection between the right to marry with the right to found a family. But if you're
it's the right to procreate for heterosexual couples, not the right to found a family through artificial means.
Well,
and that's very, very clear.
People use those artificial means.
Heterosexual couples obviously have the ability, the biological ability, to procreate, but they also have, it is understood that under the Constitution, that married heterosexual couples have the right to procreate. And that's as far as it goes. It's not the right. No married couple, whether same-sex or heterosexual, has the right in Ireland for surrogacy or assisted human reproduction.
It's totally unregulated.
It is, but there's no constitutional rights. There's no legal rights, and the government is going to bring in legislation.
They haven't addressed the surrogacy question in the Children and Family Relations Act. Isn't it funny that they've kicked that question to touch and waited? Because once this passes,
and they have to, as you see in other
countries that have same-sex marriage, it's equal all the way through law.
Oh, okay, Mary, but maybe let Cian answer that.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? It's 2015 and there's no legislation and no regulation whatsoever of surrogacy in Ireland, and of course there should be. But that's not just surrogacy, because there is thousands of different things that there should be legislation on, that the government should have been doing things on, thousands and thousands of different things, and they haven't done it. We all know that the Dáil goes at this sort of snail pace, and it is quite, it's very hard to understand how they just do 10, 20, 30 pieces of legislation a year, and they've got this massive backlog, not just on this, I mean on a whole range of different issues. And it's not really acceptable, to be honest, that the government and the Oireachtas are at such a slow pace and all of these things. It's not acceptable at all. So I agree with you on that. These things need to be done, and decisions need to be made as quickly as possible, because there's real people, real lives, and you know, there's a huge, obviously, everything to do with surrogacy and assisted human reproduction. There's huge ethical and moral issues there that society as well needs to debate and discuss, and we need to ensure that we get legislation, regulation that fits in with the moral values and the values of Irish society. So I completely agree with you on that. But that's not an issue. This is a debate about whether or not lesbian gay people can marry as well, and that's not in my view in this referendum at all. And Kevin Cross, the independent chair, has also said that it's not affected one way or another.
How can that
by
be?
Yes or no vote?
How can that possibly be? The changes, the wording we're putting in, it goes into Article 41. The heading of that article is a family. How could it not possibly have an impact on family and children? Of course it does. As you say from the Justice Finlay decision, we agree that you grant the right to marry. That implicitly means you grant the right to procreate. However, two men procreating necessarily deprive a child of a mother. That child would never see or know her mother.
And it has to involve surrogacy. Mark, we both know that two men cannot procreate together. That's a simple biological fact. We both know that.
But they have a right to found a family. Found a family in the constitutional words. We're changing the constitution.
It's in the article on... This is it exactly. It's in the article on family.
That's
so
right.
Married couples are considered a family. So two heterosexual people who get married in our constitution are considered a family. Their home is considered a family home and has the protection of that. Two heterosexual people without children. If lesbian and gay people are allowed to marry, that under the constitution will be considered a family, the two people together, and they will enjoy the constitutional protection with regard to things like the family home. There is no ability for same-sex couples for two men to procreate. That's a biological fact, and we won't discuss that any further, I assume, but it's not possible.
However, they can adopt a child
the current situation has been for quite some time is that in terms of adoption, it's the right of a child to be adopted to get a loving family and loving parents. No adult has a right to adopt,
but then it comes
a child, and nor should any adult have the right to adopt a child. Children should have a right to be placed in the best possible circumstances.
I agree.
Children, for them.
Children need love, but the question is, what is the most loving thing? I mean, if you have two men adopting a child over and against a man and a woman, you are depriving a child of a mother. Okay, they can't give it to the mother. And it's not loving, I should say, also, to deny a child deliberately.
But what about the situation where Colin McGorman and his partner adopted a child at the request of the mother of the child, who was terminally ill? Was the mother wrong to want her friends that she trusted and loved to bring up her child? Should she not? Are you saying she should have been prohibited from doing that? That she should have been forced to make sure that her child was brought up by someone else? Do you think that should have been stopped?
You're comparing the worst of one situation with the best of another. Of course, you have situations where a child is better off. I'm saying, all things being equal, should a child have a mother and father? All other things being equal, where possible, should a child have a mother and a father? That is the question. Of course, you have situations where a child is in a horrible orphanage or wherever. But that's not a fair comparison. I'm saying, all other things being equal, in the first instance, we should strive to have to ensure, as far as possible, that a child has a mother and father. And then, of course, there are situations where that breaks down. But in the first instance, but this will be a case of deliberately setting a precedent in law and the Constitution for depriving a child of a mother and father.
Yeah, I think that's... You see, that's effectively what this boils down to. And I don't think there's any... If we decide to have a situation where lesbian gay people can get married as well as heterosexual couples, there is no deliberate or there is no effect from that in relation to other issues. It simply means that we can also get married, and that's what the referendum is about. There's no deliberate attempt to change anything else. If this passes, we are still going to, next week and the week after and years to come, the vast majority of marriages are going to be heterosexual marriages, and the vast, vast majority of children are going to grow up in those environments, and that's not going to change. But you see, we don't live in a world where everybody, everything fits into that exact situation. If you look at the current situation, most of the gay fathers that I know, they're gay fathers by virtue of the fact that they were in heterosexual relationships 20, 30 years ago, because that's what they thought, you know, society thought was the norm, and that's how they're gay fathers.
Changed.
And they're just as good fathers as anybody else, even though that original relationship broke down. And we know as well from everything else that there's great parents out there who've brought up kids on their own, either through separation and divorce or because their partner has become deceased. And all of the research shows that what matters most is that a child is in a loving and supportive and secure environment, rather than the makeup of the parents. But that's not going to change either way when this referendum, if this referendum is passed or if it isn't, it won't be changed either way. This is simply open access to marriage for lesbian gay couples.
Mark.
I agree that a child should be loved. Two men can love a child, I don't doubt that, but they can't give a child a mother's love. Two women can love a child, but they can't give a child a father's love. I'm a father. I don't want to live in a society where my role as a father is just optional, can be written out of the script like that, deliberately. I mean, there's cases where that can break down due to force of circumstance, but this is what we're talking about here, is implementing something from the Constitution on downwards that would deliberately deprive a child of a mother or a father. That's so basic, that's so fundamental to society's well-being, to the common good, that it's just I think we should really think about this a bit more and really uphold the rights of all, gay and straight. We all have a mother and a father. That's what family is.
Yeah. And in terms of if a relationship does break down, whether between a man and a woman or two women, two men, the custody and maintenance of children, say into the future, is there any change to that, Cian, or do you
not in terms of what we're being asked on Friday? This is simply whether or not marriage is going to be open to two persons without distinction to their sex. So that's what we get to decide on next Friday. And there's nothing in that will deliberately deprive anybody of their parents or their mothers or their fathers. And there will not be, after this, if this passes, there will not be, fatherhood will not be become optional or change the status of fathers. Fathers will still be there and will be playing an ever-increasing and more active role in parenting, which of course is one of the great changes we've seen over the last 20, 30, 40 years in Ireland. The days of the hands-off fathers are long, long gone, and well can that, you know, long can that continue?
I think there will be a fundamental change to the way that custody and access and custodianship of children do. I think there are situations where, of course, there are different models of out there. There are different scenarios out there. There are people raising children and giving them much love. That needs to be, those situations should be regularized and are in the guardianship provisions of the Children and Family Relationships Act, for example. We don't need to redefine marriage to do that. There are 19,000 households in the country where the child is being raised by the grandmother and the mother. But we don't need to redefine marriage to give them safety and the benefits of cohesion for that. I think there will be fundamental change. When I lived in Massachusetts, you saw there was definite deliberate structures in law to deprive a child of a mother or a father. For example, in breakdown in custody battles, for example, the biological parents are completely written out for other criteria, such as, you know, the wealth or whatever of status of the couple who are looking to get gain guardianship or custody of the child. So I think the connection to biological parents can be completely written out of the script. This is really bad. You talk about fatherhood. Sure, look, if you redefine marriage to make fatherhood essentially optional, you're basically saying somebody who is, let's say, conceive a child with a woman will think, well, if I've just run away, my role as a father, marriage is between two women as well, so I'm not necessary, really. You'll undermine the culture of marriage, because marriage is the benefits of marriage to a child is when the child comes into the world, the mother and father are committed to each other for the sake of that child.
You see, with the greatest respect, I think that argument is a little bit ridiculous now, that if this is passed somehow, fathers are going to disappear out of their role as fathers.
And
we had this argument 20 years ago. There was, when we were considering divorce and the right to remarry, and posters went up saying, "Hello, divorce, bye-bye, daddy." And we've been told, if divorce comes in, fatherhood's going to be optional, and this is all going to start collapsing. Now, lo and behold, right to remarry was brought in, and that didn't happen. And we still have very high levels of marriage and very high levels of active fatherhood, and that should all be supported. I mean, both parents should definitely be supported in terms of raising children, but we have a diverse society as well, and this is just a question about whether or not lesbian gay people can also get married as well as heterosexual couples. And if it passes, it won't have any impact on fathers, and it won't have any impact on the vast majority of heterosexual married couples.
Okay, we're very near the end of the programme, so what I'd maybe like to do for both of you is just give both of you a final minute or so just to make a final view in terms of your own thoughts and your own viewpoint ahead of next Friday. So at the start of the programme we started with Cian, so I'm going to start with Mark now. Mark.
The union of a man and woman is the same act that brings a child into the world. No other relationship does that. This does not denigrate other relationships. Upholding the institution of marriage serves to protect the integrity of the relationship between the child and his or her mother. We're told by the established government that by most of the media that this is not about children. How can that possibly be? The proposed amendment is to go into the article entitled The Family. The family has an awful lot to do with children. If you grant the right to marry, you grant the right to found a family. But two men or two women cannot found a family without depriving a child of her mother or father. This involves donor-assisted human reproduction, and in the case of two men, that involves surrogacy. If this referendum is passed with a yes, it will be very difficult to ban surrogacy. Every child has the right to know their mother and the father in the first instance, and to get their identity and connection to extended family, grandparents, uncles, cousins, etc. There are those of us who are attracted to members of their own sex. All of us, gay or straight, have a childhood, have a mother and father, and have a mother and father. I hope that we vote no, so that everyone has a chance to be raised by them.
Okay, thanks to Mark for that. And Cian?
Yeah, this vote next Friday is simply about whether or not, as a society, we want to include lesbian gay people as equal citizens, so our loving relationships and committed relationships can be treated in the same way as heterosexual couples. That's what the referendum is about. If it passes, it means people like myself and my boyfriend in the future will have the opportunity to be able to get married, just the same way as my brothers and sisters have that opportunity, same way as my friends do. And we're just asking people to vote yes so that we can be included as full and equal citizens and in Ireland, and so our relationships can have the same full and equal status. We don't want, I suppose, to be treated differently or separately. And that's the only change that will happen. There won't be any dramatic differences in our society. It will just be more inclusive, and I think that's better for everybody.
Okay, well, that is it. That's all we have time for on our special edition of Week in Review, a special edition discussing and debating the issues in the upcoming marriage referendum. A big thank you to Cian O'Callaghan, independent councillor. Thanks for taking the time to come in, Cian. And also thank you to Mark Hickey from Mothers and Fathers Matter for your time today as well, and for your robust discussion and debate there with one another. Polling day is next Friday, 22nd of May 2015. The polling stations will be open from 7 a.m. in the morning right through until 10 p.m. in the evening. I'd like to thank Felicity Carney for her help in putting the programme together. Thank you to you, and also to Carla for her help in studio today. I'll be back at the same time next week. Don't forget, if you have an item you'd like me to feature on the programme, you can contact me at any time on weekinreview@near.ie. That's weekinreview@near.ie, or on Twitter @DeclanRalph. Robert O'Toole is next with the Golden Memories programme. So for now, from me, Declan Ralph, I'll see you very soon on the radio.